today?
No one should be. Good morning, everyone. No one should be intimidated by the first source, the amount of the due to the fact that it's 20 psukim. It's more just as a reference if anyone wants to use it. But the title of today's shir is an excavation of Marat Machpelah, Maras Machpelah. Just to discuss, let's start this way. At the very beginning of the parsha, there's a very lengthy description of the transaction between Ephron Hachiti, B'nei Ches, and Avram Avinu regarding the acquisition of a burial place for his wife, his late wife Sarah. So it's very interesting, 2 points. One, it seems very verbose, very wordy. The Torah has to take out approximately 18 psukim, 17 psukim, in order just to say something that it could say in one line. Kana Avram, from the B'nei Ches, Avram acquired from B'nei Ches or from Ephron, Maras Machpelah, and buried his wife there. But a whole to-do in describing, good morning, in describing this transaction. So, first of all, very simply, what's the big deal? Why does Torah have to have such a description? And furthermore, it's not a question, but more just, I think it's interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem had promised Avram that he would get the land of Israel, he would get Canaan. And yet he still has to acquire, at this time of need, he has to acquire a burial place for his wife, to a land which God had promised him. It's not a question because he promised to his children. It wouldn't necessarily be that he would get it, but it just I think it's interesting at least. So there are different approaches amongst the Mefarshim of how to understand the significance of this transaction, to what exactly transpired, and difficulties with each approach. So let's see what we have here. So if you turn to source 2, this is the comment of Ibn Ezra. Okay, it starts in Pasuk Yotet, the first paragraph, the first section of that Ibn Ezra in source 2. So he says, V'yachar came, cover Avram and Sarah. Avram had buried his wife, Sarah. U'mi'az niskaim ha'sadeh la'achuzas ha'kover lo ulozaro. And after that transaction, after the acquisition, it became the property of Avram and to his children, L'dorei Doros. Zos ha'parsha, the Nizkor Zos ha'parsha, and what's the purpose of this whole episode, of this whole parsha? L'hodia malas eretz Yisrael, it's to inform us, to notify us of the value, the importance of Israel, the quality of Israel, al kol ha'aratzos, in relationship to every other land, l'chaim ulameisin, for life and for death. It's so important that there's significance for him to purchase it, for even for his mason. For those that passed on. Vod l'kaim divar Hashem la'avram liyos lo nachala. And furthermore, the acquisition of Maras Machpelah was a way in which Avram allowed the promise of Hashem to be fulfilled. This is just bisograyim, in parentheses, parenthetically. We're not going to deal with that very last line, although it is interesting, the fact that Avram felt a responsibility to fulfill the promise of God. I would think that would happen naturally. God promised him, but he felt sort of an obligation to fulfill the word of God. That's another discussion, I guess, in terms of how Nezul works. But that's neither here nor there. But that was just an aside. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra's primary point is that the reason why the Torah had to go out of its way to mention this parsha is to inform us of the importance of the land of Israel, even to extend to Mason, but the importance of the land of Israel. But the Ramban doesn't love this explanation of the Ibn Ezra. If we go to source 3, the last paragraph, the line begins with the word velo, 3 lines from the bottom. Velo yadati tam ledivrei Rabbi Avraham. I don't understand, right, the Avram Ibn Ezra. I don't understand the rationale behind what the Ibn Ezra says. Sha'omer lahodia malas eretz Yisrael l'chaim ulameisim v'od l'chaim lo dvar Hashem lios lo nachalo. He says that the purpose of this parsha is a dual purpose. One, to inform us of the mal of Eretz Yisrael, the value of Eretz Yisrael, and to fulfill Hashem's promise that Hashem will inherit this land. The Ramban says, Kim ma mala la'aretz bezeh, how does him purchasing a plot, burying his late wife, demonstrate a mala of Eretz Yisrael? Ki lo yolichena el eretz acheres lekavra, he's not going to go to someplace else to bury her. He's burying his deceased. Where else is he going to bury her? V'dvar Hashem la'avram al kol ha'aretz hayav niskayim rak b'zar. Okay. And he says, and the Dvar Hashem, that Hashem had promised him the land, was fulfilled through his children. So he didn't have to feel compelled to fulfill Hashem's promise, because it was going to be through his children that he would inherit the land. So that's the Ramban's first point on the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, what exactly are you saying? How does this indicate the value and the importance of Eretz Yisrael? He was going to do this anyway. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so what's the Ramban's approach? If you look at the very beginning of the Ramban says, "V'necht v'zos ha'parsha l'hodia chazde Hashem im Avraham, shahaya nisi Elokim ba'aretz." The purpose of this portion is to inform us of to make known to us the kindnesses that God did with Abraham, who was a Nasi Elokim, he was a prince of God, Ba'aretz Asher Ba'al Gorsham V'Hayachid. V'chol Ha'am Hayu Korelo Adoni. If you look in the Parsha, the whole transaction between Ephron, between the Bnei Ches, and between Abraham, they show respect to him. They refer to him as Adoni, my master. V'hulo Amar Lehem Kein Shahayasar V'Gadol. And he didn't tell them that he was somewhat of importance. They knew. And the very fact that they dealt with him with respect was an indicator that Hashem's promise to Avram that he will make him great was fulfilled. You see, with Ephraim. The Ishta Mesa Nikra Benachlas Hashem, and his wife died and she was buried in the Nachlas Hashem. That's one idea. I don't know what anyone thinks here. I never really liked that answer of the Ramban. I just thought it was very. I can't articulate what bothers me. It sounds like small potatoes to me. The fact that the Bnei Ches spoke with him, they called him Adoni, my master. It was the purpose of these 18 psukim in the Torah. I guess to partially tell you that Hashem did fulfill some of his promise, but he didn't fulfill the fact that he would have a nachla yet. So his promise wasn't completely filled. But okay, that's the Ramban's approach. But he continues that there's another aspect, another idea here. V'o, the third line from the top of the Ramban in source 3, the middle of the line. V'o ki ratza lahodiyenu, he wanted to inform us, makom kvuras avos, basher anachnu chayavim l'chavin makom kvuras avosinu hakdoshim. Practically, he wanted to tell us where are the avos buried. V'rabosinu amru shegam ze min hanisyonos. That's a second idea, to inform us geographically where they're buried. Shigam zeh min hanisyonos shel Avram shebikish makom lekvor esara v'lo batza ad shekana oso. Lastly, the Ramban mentions, which is important, is that the Mishnah Avos said that Avram had been tested with 10 tests. And this was one of the last tests that Avram had to go through, the fact that he's a bereaved husband, and he was promised God this land, and now he has to go and purchase it. It's a little bit demeaning and a little bit difficult in this time of sorrow which he was going through. So this is one of the tests of Avram Avinu.
It was Avram's idea to pay for the land.
Right. So the truth is, exactly. That's one difficulty with the Ramban. It's a very good point.
Why was that a test? I'm sorry.
It was a test of faith. Because the fact is that Hashem had promised him the land.
Okay.
Now he has to go and pay for the land. And certainly that he has to deal with. I mean, practically, if you think about just I guess all the details that have to go into burial and all the things that he would have to be burdened with, and knowing that Hashem had promised him the land, I think it would be I could envision that it would be something of difficulty for him. Meaning the fact that he was promised the land, and now what happened to God's promise? And now he's making me having to do this right now in this time when I lost my wife.
But that was his choice, right?
Now, what was his choice? To pay for it? Or to, what do you mean his choice?
Well, but that was Abraham's choice now to bury her, right? I mean, that.
Well, he had to bury her.
Yeah, to bury her.
Right, that's true.
Okay.
So, but it's not some question of he was going to bury him, and that wasn't the problem. The problem was the circumstances of the burial.
But I think I had learned
that the
choice was Abraham's to negotiate a price for the burial place, that it was his choice to do that.
Right.
So that it could never be said that anybody gave him anything for nothing,
right,
or that he took the land.
For sure, that would be a very good...
At that particular time, that he took it and
right.
did not, in fact,
right.
give recompense to who the owner of the land
exactly.
was.
Right, which makes sense. Meaning, practically speaking, did he have to do that? No. Could he have gotten him? Could he have received it in gratis? He could, no problem. But it was his own choice.
He wanted to give it to him.
This was his own stringency that he wanted to
make sure that it was correct in that it could never. He could never be accused of having taken the land.
For sure.
Ownership
for sure. I'm sorry, what's your name? I'm sorry?
Mark.
Mark. So, and Mark also has a very good point as well. The fact is, if you look at the psukim, the word that keeps on floating around here is nosein, matana, a gift. And there's actually no mention of payment until Avram mentions payment. In fact, if you look at the beginning of the psukim, the simple understanding is that they were going to give it to him for free. So, in terms of, that's a good argument against the Ramban, because according to the Ramban, what test is this? You could have gotten it for free, and like you said before, that this was a stringency that Avram potentially could have decided upon himself. Okay, does so. Okay, that's his deal. But the Ramban presumably he would have to understand that it was implicit, that granted the language is no saying, which probably would indicate it's free. However, you'll have to understand, at least with the Ramban, that he maybe understood that it was an implicit purchase that was involved here. Like, I guess he'd say on the street, you'll give me this, I want this. You go to a shop, I want this. It's obviously understood that you're going to pay for all those things that you want. Okay. So how could we give maybe more of a rationale, more of a basis behind the Ibn Ezra? Again, the Ibn Ezra says that the purpose of this whole parsha is in order to inform us, to tell us of the beauty of the land of Israel. So why specifically here? Why Hebron? How does the purchase of Hebron here, how does that tell us the Malas Eretz Israel? What's happening? So if you go to source 4, okay, this is a piece, Rabbi Hirsch, Raphael Hirsch, on the pasuk over there. So he says as follows. He also adds Rabbi Hirsch liked grammar, so he always has these cute grammatical points of his. So he says, according to the tradition, Adam and Eve, the ancestors of mankind, were already buried in the cave of Maarat Machpelah. That is why Abraham decided upon its acquisition. Specifically, Maarat Machpelah. Where am I going to bury Sarah? If not, with my forefathers. It consisted of several pairs of caves. Here, Abraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah are buried. The Jewish people's, now this is the Kuntz, the Jewish people's first piece of promised land were graves, the graves of their forefathers and mothers. For this reason alone, the land was dear to them. Perhaps the name of this spot originated from its being a burial place, Hebron, from the word chaver, or chibur, connection, to be close to someone or something, reminding of the intimate relationship which brings together man and wife, parents and children of the Jewish people. So, the idea that Rabbi Hirsch wants to bring to the table right now is that, do you know why this, of all places, signifies the significance of the land of Israel? Because it highlights our connection and our relationship with our forefathers. That specifically, of all places, that Avraham Avinu wanted to use his own money, to use his own cash in order to acquire the land of Israel, was this place. And this was going to be a model and a reflection of the ownership and acquisition of all of Eretz Yisrael. But specifically, through the point of Hebron, through the point of Ir HaAvot, the city of our fathers, is where he wanted to make that point of departure. That's what Rabbi Hirsch wants to suggest. I just... constantly with Herbie Hirsch, he always has this these very visual, and he just creates imagery in his writing, so it's very interesting. Now, just to as a basis for our question, the question that we began with, let me flesh out Herbie Hirsch for one moment, I'm sorry. So again, we began with Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says that the purpose of the acquisition and why it was so verbose is in order to tell us the Mila of Eretz Yisrael. And how exactly, the Ramban says, how does this indicate why it's a Mila of Eretz Yisrael? What Mila of Eretz Yisrael? He had to bury her there. So according to Herbie Hirsch, we'll have to explain the reason why is he specifically chose Hebron. Specifically the choice of Hebron, the Ir HaAvot, that's how it shows the Mila of Eretz Yisrael, because he wanted to connect between the land and between our forefathers. That's how you'll have to explain. In source 5, there's some midrashim that a pulpit rabbi always looks for. You always look for, you want the 7-10 split. You want to always have a medrash that joins two things together. You have no idea how exactly, they're miles and miles apart, how are they together, and you want to eventually close the circle at the end of the drasha. That's always what's the making of a good drasha. So this is this kind of medrash. Source 5. The medrash begins, Amar Rav Elazar, Kama dios mishtavchos, how much ink was spilled? Kama kulmusin mishtavrin, how many quills had been broken? Kedei lichtov b'nei ches, to write the word, the children of ches, in our parsha so many times. Because if you count it up, Asara pamim ksiv b'nei ches, it says b'nei ches 10 times in the parsha. Seems a little bit too much. So the Medrash explains, Asara k'neged Aseres HaDibros. The reason why it says B'nei Ches 10 times in the Parsha is to correspond to the Aseres HaDibros. Why? What does that mean? L'lamedcha, it's to teach you, Shekol mi shehu mevarer mikcho shel tzadik. The English, by the way, the English is Sansino. The English is not exactly correct in its translation. Because the English says, teaching that if one assists a righteous man in his purchase, it is as if though he fulfilled the Ten Commandments. That's not exactly the translation. The translation is Kol mi shehu mevarer mikcho shel tzadik. Anyone who verifies, who corroborates the transaction of that tzadik, referring to Avram Avinu, ki'ilu mekayim aseres hadibros. It's as if he fulfilled the aseres hadibros. So what's going on here? So the purpose of the reason why the parsha was so wordy, it mentions B'nei Ches so many times, is in order to tell you that whoever is able to verify, to prove, to clarify the transaction of Avram Avinu, his purchase of Ma'aseh Machpelah, he fulfilled the Aseres HaDibros. Ma'inyin Shemitah L'Etzel Harsina, what's the connection? So just as a beginning to try to give us an answer to this idea, So just to give us an answer to this idea, first of all, to give us a little bit of a perspective on Eretz Yisrael is necessary, and a little bit of a perspective on the Aseres HaDibros is necessary. In source 6, there is a very famous Ramban. The Ramban, where the Torah discusses the different curses, and it goes into this, and it describes in graphic detail of the expulsion of those that do not observe the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael, how the land will throw it up. So the Ramban goes on to explain the special significance of Eretz Yisrael. The very beginning of source 6, he says, "Bini Hashem hanechbad hu Elokei Helokim, Hashem is our God, the God of gods, v'advini ha'adunim l'chol ha'olam, aval Eretz Yisrael emtzaut ha'yishuv nachalat Hashem yuchedit l'shmo." He explains that the portion of Israel is something that's special and unique to God and to his people, to that land. He goes further on to say, I'll say it outside, but he says, the term we use is kebayochel, if it's possible, if you could say such a thing, but generally speaking, each land has a certain administering angel that administers over that particular land, over that particular country. But the Ramban explains, based on the Gemara, Eretz Yisrael has the direct divine hand of God in its daily goings-on. And he says further, and if you skip to the five lines from the bottom, where you see the periods, V'zohi mitzvahs Yaakov Avinu. So the Ramban goes further on to explain the significance of Israel, and he says, "V'zohi mitzvas Yaakov Avinu lebeso l'chol asher imo v'shas biyasam la'aretz." This impacts Yaakov and his entire family when they had entered Israel. There's a famous question, just to explain this Ramban, there's a famous question. The Gemara says that the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, had observed all of the mitzvos. So the Mefarshim ask, if that's the case, a famous question. The Mefarshim ask, if they observed all the mitzvos, then how did Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? He married Rachel and Leah. How did he marry two sisters if he kept the Torah? What was that?
Because it was in Chutzlaretz.
Oh, so this is the Ramban. This Ramban. The Ramban gives one explanation and explains that the reason why is, and it's very telling, that he never actually was married to two sisters while he was in Eretz Yisrael. The problem specifically of being married to two sisters was in Eretz Yisrael. And in other words, and this is generally how the Ramban is explained, the primary way to fulfill mitzvos, the ikar kiyum ha-mitzvos, the primary way, the main way of the fulfillment of mitzvos is specifically in Israel. In other words, the Torah in its pristine form, the Jewish people in its pristine form, is to be in Israel. And therefore, the mitzvos, the positive commandments, the negative commandments, are just a shadow of themselves outside of Israel. So that is along the section. Also, the Gemara in Horios explains that the idea of Israel as a congregation actually is specifically located in Israel, which impacts this idea of the Ramban. So that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that the real idea of the Tarya'ag mitzvahs, of the 613 mitzvahs, is to be fulfilled in Israel. Okay, so that's one idea. Let's keep that in our pocket. If you go to source 7, Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes an interesting medrash in Shir HaShirim. So this medrash that Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes gives us an insight in terms of what the idea of the Aseres HaDibros are, or is. So Amar Rav Medrash, the Medrash says, source 7, Moshe L'Maha Davar Domeh, what is this similar to? What can we compare this to? L'Melech Shehayu L'Marteth, you had a Melech who had a cellar, Gadol, a very big cellar, U'besochu Chavius Har V'Shal Yayin Tov, and he had many, many barrels of fine wine. Ba Ohavo Shel Melech Nasal L'Chavis Achas, one of the friends of the king came, and he gave him one barrel. A second friend came and he gave him two barrels. He was an even better friend. Lizman ba shlishin asalo shlosha, yet even better friend, he gave him three barrels. Barvin asalo arba, etc. Lizman eventually, ba bino shalmelech, the son of the king came. Nasalo kol hamartif, he gave him the entire cellar. Kach, now what's the idea that we're trying to get from this? Kach, kish nivra Adam harishon, when Adam had been created, right, when Adam was created, Nitzdava al sheish mitzvos, he originally was commanded six mitzvos. Kideshi is kaima olam. B'sheish k'tzavos, I'm not sure, I don't know what that reference is, that the world should continue to exist on its six corners. I don't know what that means exactly. Bo Noach, v'nitzdava al hashvius, Noach was commanded a seventh mitzvah, Avraham Hachai, the seven mitzvos of the B'nai Noach. Avram al Shminis, Zohamila. Avram was given another mitzvah, the mitzvah of Bris Mila, that he had went through. Yaakov al Shias, Zogit Hanasha. Yaakov got a ninth mitzvah, the mitzvah of not eating the sciatic nerve. Keshebo Yisrael, and then when at Har Sinai, when the Bnei Israel received the Torah, Nasan Lehem Aseres HaDibros. He gave him the Aseres HaDibros. Okay. Shehein, this is the kicker, Kolos Tayak mitzvos. They include the entire Tarya'ag mitzvos. Rabbeinu Bechaya says a very important idea. What's the significance of the Aseres HaDibros? What are the ten Dibros? Those are an outline for all of Tarya'ag mitzvos. They are significant unto themselves, of course. But what really distinguishes the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em versus the mitzvah of honoring someone who's older than you, Hajus Pnei Zaken. What's the difference? The difference is that the Aseres HaDibros, according to this medrash, is the outline that represents and embodies the entirety of the Torah. So now, if we put these two things together, maybe we could come up with something. How to understand that medrash? If you go back to Medrash, Medrash says that anyone who verifies, back to the source spot, anyone who clarifies and verifies the acquisition of this tzaddik, the acquisition of Maris HaMachpelah, it's as if he fulfills the Yaser Sedibros. What did we say according to Ibn Ezra and according to Rabbi Hirsch? There was significance to the purchase of Maris HaMachpelah because that was sort of a claim, that represented a claim, an actual claim of Avram to the land of Israel, specifically through Hebron. The ideal place, the Ramban tells us, the way in which that we really fulfill the Tayyag Mitzvos, the Iker Kima of the Tayyag Mitzvos, the primary way we fulfill them, is in Eretz Yisrael. So in essence, the way I understood this was, is that the Medrash is coming to tell us this connection between Israel and between our Torah, and the way in which we achieve a perfection through the partnership of both those ideas. And that could be what the Medrash is referencing, perhaps.
You know, like showing Noah with the seventh, Abraham, and then Yaakov.
Right.
But skipping Yitzchak.
What was the specific mitzvah of Yitzchak? Oh, you're just saying that it's interesting that,
just,
that he never had his own. Which is that is really interesting because that sort of fits along the lines of what we always know of Yitzchak, that Yitzchak always seems to be the more passive odd man out, right? Abraham Avinu is always more of a character in the Chumash that he's a trailblazer.
Yeah, but Yitzchak was the next generation before
right.
Yaakov, so you will think.
Right. No, I agree.
He would be mentioned there.
I agree.
Because you always say Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov.
Right. I agree for sure. Okay. Fine. So the last source also is an interesting medrash. Source 7. I'm sorry. Source 8. Second last source. So there are three times we find in the Torah there's a specific stress on the purchase of a land. And this is what this medrash is coming off of. If you look in the middle of the medrash, two, four lines from the top, the center word is matzinu. Okay? Matzinu. Matzinu shlosha mikomos shahayu me'ulim mikol shar hamakomos. We find three places that are elevated above other places. Asher bo liyodam, and how is this indicated? Asher bo liyodam al deknias kesef, where there was specifically a stress to purchase it. It had to be purchased. It couldn't be acquired physically. It couldn't be just given as a present. They were purchased. And which are they? Beit Elohim. Hebron was, as we find over here now, with Avram Avinu and Ephron. Har Grizim v'Har Eval, Shechem. You find the mountain of Har Grizim v'Har Eval, where the klolos, where the curses that God said to us were, that if we were to not observe the mitzvos, there were different curses that would be bestowed upon us. The third, Har HaMoriah, the Temple Mount, or Yerushalayim Har HaMoriah. Okay, now the Medrash goes into more depth. Chevron, who shekosav kam la'Avram lemikne. Chevron, we see that this was an acquisition that Avram made. V'ksiva ha'sada shekana Avram, says explicitly the field that Avram had acquired. Har Griz and Har Eval, Shisham Karasnu Bris V'kibano Olenu HaTorah V'Allah. On the mountain of Griz and the mountain of Eval, that's where we made a covenant with God, and we accept the Torah V'Allah with the curse. We'll accept the Torah, and we'll be responsible. We'll receive whatever curses are associated with that Torah.
But that wasn't purchased, though.
Yes, it was.
I thought that the purchase wasn't the other purchase of
Shechem.
Shechem,
that which is where Hargis and Har Eval.
Right. So is that synonymous with Shechem?
So it's actually really interesting because there's a little bit of a contradiction in Midrashim as to what exactly is the focus here. There's one Midrash that mentions it in respect to the burial place of Yosef,
right.
And this one doesn't take that focus. This one actually takes the focus of the fact that the Har Gris and Har Eval are there.
I mean, that you can, if you stand there, you can look down.
Yeah,
you can see the, you know, the...
Yeah, yeah. So it's a different focus. You're right. There is such a I saw the medrash before. Yeah. Okay. And the lastly is Har HaMoriah, is the Temple Mount or Yerushalayim, and what's that? Vayikan eschel kas hasadeh Har HaMoriah. Aviksiv alav vayikan eschel kas hasadeh Har HaMoriah Har HaMoriah hushakasov vayikan David esagorim. David had acquired that place. So the question is, I saw this medrash 3 years ago, and I was busting my head. What's the connection between all three of these places? It didn't really make sense to me. And honestly, Har Griz and Har Ebal threw a monkey wrench. I didn't know the connection. Chevron and Har Moriah. So you see at least more of a connection spiritually. Har Griz and Har Ebal. I wasn't sure what was going on.
Three places that the Arabs today say we can't have.
That's true. That's
We buy it.
No. But three specific places that they're refusing us to have.
Yeah. Well, there are the three places that are really under Arab control.
Okay, that's right.
What is the pasuk of the where was that by
Shechem? Yaakov.
Yaakov
Bot Shechem.
The area outside of town where he was before the incident, or what?
Yeah, it was outside of the town.
That's what we're talking about.
He lived outside of the town, so he bought the land outside of the town, which I guess is Harry.
Right. So what's the connection exactly? So I thought about it, and I think the approach may be as follows. So. The Hebron, as we mentioned before, Hebron is the city of our forefathers. And Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had a very interesting experience when it comes to their relationship with God. Certainly we can appreciate this with Avraham. And as the Medrash describes, Avraham was the one who was able to discover God on his own. He was able to look into nature and to see God in nature and to embrace him. That's very much a service, an avoda of God, a service of God through love, through recognition. And that's one type of approach, a very beautiful approach. And that's one idea. The idea of Kibla HaTorah be'Allah, the idea of accepting the Torah with curses, it's a different approach. It's sort of the fire and brimstone approach. You better observe these mitzvos, you better be my servant, you better be faithful,
or else.
And what about the third? What about what's with Har HaMoriah? What's going on over there? So, if you look at source 9, it's a famous medrash. At Motzi, Shnekra Beis Hamikdash Shalem. We find that the Beis Hamikdash is called Shalem. Shneamar Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Malki Tzedek was called Melech Shalem. Malki Tzedek, the son of Noach Shem. So you refer to the Beis Hamikdash as Shalem, as complete, as whole, as peaceful. Shem ben Noach, Shem ben Noach, Shneamar Hukoin le Kel Elyon. Okay, etc. Just skip down to the fourth line. The second to last word on the line is Va'Avraham Kara. Va'Avraham Kara le Beis Hamikdash Yireh. Shneamar Va'Yikra Avraham Shem Hamakom Hahu Hashem Yireh. Hashem will. So Amar Hamakom im ekra oso shalem. If I'll call it shalem, peace or complete, kamosha karu shem, that which is what Shem had referred to it as, ani avatel divrei Avram o avi shekaru yireh. I'm going to nullify the name that Avram gave the Beis Hamikdash was more of awe and fear. V'im ani kore oso yireh. If I'll call it yireh, ani avatel divrei Shem hatzadik shekaru shalem. Called it Shalem. And if I call it by what Avram called it, I'm going to be mevatel what Avram had called it. Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shitiv Masha Karu Shnehem, Avram Karo Yireh, Rishim Karu Shalem, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yushalem, Havi Vihi B'Shalom Suko, Omahu Yushalem, Yireh B'Shalem. The essence of Yushalayim, and really the essence of the Beis HaMikdash, is the combination of the two. It's the balance of those two things, of Yireh and of Shalom, of more of awe and fear, and one of more completion and of peace. So it could be that the significance of Yerushalayim is to have that balanced avoda. So these three areas indicate the significance of investing ourselves and the three approaches towards Yiras Hashem, or towards Avodas Hashem. Chevron, which is the place of our Avos, which is the place of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that discovered God through nature, that were able to embrace Him through pure Ahava, on their own volition. Then you have the Har Gerizim and Har Evel, Shekibla HaTorah Ba'ala, the accepted the Torah with a curse. It was fire and brimstone. Kaf Alayim Har Kegigis. It was thrown upon them. And then you have the Shvil HaZav, you have the middle of the road. That balance of serving God through Ahava and serving God through Yira, to merge those two. And that potentially is the significance of all those three places.
So why didn't they, if Hebron was before, as a holy, where our forefather buried, put the Beit HaMikdash there and make it the capital city? I mean, I'm just curious to know.
So according to what I'm saying, it could be that, because that's the ideal approach, is not to have any of those extremes. Extremes never work. It might be just a combination of the two.
Hebron was the capital for
right.
7 years.
It was the capital. Right.
Why they change it later on when it's a capital in history? You keep it forever.
Well, because at least in the Pesukim say El Hamenuch El Hanach. The indication of the Pesukim that Yerushalayim would be eventually the place in which the Beis Hamikdash would rest.
Maybe the influence of David when he built.
Historically. Oh, in terms of that, maybe, I hear, could be.
Another, Ayavo Yaakov Shalemir Shem, another reference to he wasn't complete until he settled right outside of Shem.
Right, oh, very good.
Right, so it ties in somewhere, but not mentioned. I don't know where that uh-huh. comes.
Uh-huh, that's very good. But just to, I've had conversations before, but I always find just the beauty of Yiddishkeit is to have that balance, is the fact that, for example, you can even see it in our own tefillah, that in our own tefillah, it's very much structured, but at the same time, there is room for one's own tefillahs, in Elokeinu Tzor, in Shema Koleinu, that opportunity to sort of freestyle tefillah, to add your own prayers. And also, furthermore, is that just that Yiddishkeit is filled with emotional experiences, like experiencing the Shabbos, Zmiros, singing, but at the same time we also have that intellectual experience of being able to be involved in Talmud Torah. So to have any one extreme, of to be entirely emotional, entirely just Avas Hashem, or to be entirely cerebral, entirely intellectual, neither way really works. The advantage is that combination of the two, being able to be sort of a man of all experiences. So just to summarize just some of the points that we discussed. So we began by just asking the basic question of why exactly is this whole parsha of the transaction between Avram and between Ephron, it's so verbose, it's so wordy. And we saw that question even referenced in the Medrash. Kama Dios nishtafchos, how much ink was spilled and how many quills had been broken to write this parsha. It's very verbose, and the very fact you see B'nai Ches is written 10 times. That's one question. The other question, that was the primary question. And also the question that we did, was unspoken question, is, well, what is the significance of this transaction to begin with? So we saw the approach of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra understood that it's in order to highlight the significance of Eretz Yisrael. So then the question is, well, how does this indicate the significance of Eretz Yisrael? Why specifically Hebron? So we saw the Rav Hirsch explain why Dafka Hebron, because the first acquisition in the land of Israel should specifically be the place of our forefathers, to make that connection, to make the connection between our fathers and the children and the entire family, and bond that with Eretz Yisrael. And then we discussed the Medrash in terms of why it mentions B'nai Ches 10 times. And the Medrash, as we explained, indicated that there is a connection between what happened with Ephron and Avram and with the Yetzer HaTzeir Ruah. So we explained because it's trying to highlight the connection between the people, the land, and the Torah. That the ideal way in which we fulfill, in which we observe the Torah is specific through Eretz Yisrael. And then we mentioned the last Medrash as to the fact that why specifically was there a purchase here in Hebron? And we find two other places where there's a purchase. There's a purchase in Hebron, there's a purchase in Shechem, and there's a purchase in Har HaMori and Yerushalayim. So we explain that it could be that those three purchases are indicating the fact that our needing to invest to actually pay our own money, even though we theoretically could have conquered it like Har HaMori or like Shechem, or we theoretically could have just claimed that it's ours like Hebron. But no, we needed to do that extra investment and give of our own money to purchase it, because this highlights the investing in the three forms of Avodas Hashem. Solely through a Yira experience, serving God out of fear, serving God out of love, and then the combination of the two of Yira and Ava. Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Yeah. Anything?
No, I would ask the first question a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, I would say it's the first Jewish person who passed away. It's the first Jewish person to be buried.